And yeah, I've signed through to the end of to Paris, so I've signed a contract. But you know, we'll be reviewing, I assume, at the end of this. But as I said, next game is what I'm focusing on.
Well, that was the India men's national hockey team coach Graham Reid, who spoke after his side's 8-0 win over Japan in the 9-16 classification match, which did little well for the hosts, who were already out of the competition after the shootout defeat to New Zealand. And to talk about that, to talk about a lot that has happened at the 2023 Hockey World Cup, we have our eyes and ears on the ground, Mihir Vasavda, joining us all the way from where? Mihir, kahan se aap recording karne ki koshish kar rahe hain abhi?
Yeah, finally back at my room. The earlier part we tried was sitting in a gym, jo matlab, as always, all my past trysts with a gym haven't been successful, and so was this one. तो जैसे ही हमने वो रिकॉर्ड किया, एक तो एको बहुत ज्यादा था, एंड देन समवन जस्ट स्टार्टेड वर्किंग आउट, एंड कोई तो स्पा करने आ गया, तो आई लिटरली हैड टू काइंड ऑफ लीव द प्लेस, एंड आई गेस दिस विल बी बेटर. सो या, टॉकिंग अबाउट हार्ट ब्रेक्स फ्रॉम अ वेरी कंफर्टेबल रूम इन भुवनेश्वर.
वेल, फर्स्ट थिंग्स फर्स्ट, मीर, योर इनिशियल रिएक्शंस टू इंडियाज अर्ली एग्जिट फ्रॉम द कंपटीशन, वाज इट समथिंग दैट यू सॉ कमिंग? बिकॉज देयर वाज अ लॉट ऑफ बिल्ड अप गोइंग इनटू दिस कंपटीशन, राइट? The win at the 2021 Tokyo Olympics, the medal at the 2021 Tokyo Olympics was one landmark moment for Indian hockey in the 21st century. And then after that, the sort of expectations you have at a home World Cup were there. And they withered off too quickly after India lost to New Zealand.
There are two basic ways we can look at it. Ek to matlab ye tha ki we'd been following closely jaise team khel rahi thi since the Tokyo Olympics after they won the bronze medal. So there was a clear cut dip in form in terms of their fitness, form, everything. So ek matlab if you were to objectively look at the performances, then nahi tha zyada kuch chances of them doing well. But at the same time, Indian hockey is driven by emotions, by sentiments. So there was this hope ki they'll at least reach the semi-finals like they did in the Olympics. And there was also the reason that there was a lot of hype publicity. They had constructed a new stadium just for this purpose. Thousands of crores were spent to get the tournament to India and also to organize it in a grand manner. Ye sari cheeze thi jiski wajah se ek hype ban gayi thi. And that hype was very cut off from the reality of this team. And that's the reason, I guess, there is a lot of anger, disappointment that they lost to New Zealand in a playoff match for a place in the quarterfinals. Now, at the last World Cup in 2018, which was also held in Bhubaneswar, India at least reached the quarterfinals. So you were still among the top six, top eight countries of the world. But the fact that they couldn't even repeat that performance is the reason why it feels ki you're back to square one, and I mean, literally, no one knows what happens next in Indian hockey.
Yeah, and just because we heard Reid speak last night, of course, what's the mood like in the camp? Because in one of the postmortem pieces that you wrote, you mentioned the important factor of not letting go of the coach, who has been really pivotal in sort of creating this landmark moment in Indian hockey that was the Tokyo Olympics. How do you see his association with the side moving forward?
The comments he made after the win against Japan, it's a very cryptic message, I guess, that he might not want to continue. And that would be slightly, it will rock the boat. So far, there has been no indication from the side of Hockey India that they want to sack the coach. I mean, the thing we mentioned in postmortem of not letting Reid go was largely because Indian hockey's go-to reaction every time there is a disappointment is ki aap coach ko nikal do. I mean, before Reid joined the team in May 2019. Before that, in 25 years, Indian hockey had 25 different coaches. So you were literally changing coaches as if ki aap, festive season mein kapde lene ja rahe hai. It didn't really reap any rewards. Matlab, struggles of the team in the last three decades are well documented. And then you saw the benefit of having a coach who stayed for a longer duration. I mean, Reed is conscious of the fact that he wasn't sacked in a year because of the pandemic. He joined in May 2019. October, November, May ensured India qualified for the Olympics. And then March 2020 onwards, till practically middle of last year, I guess, you were in very different situations in terms of hard lockdown, soft quarantine, soft lockdown, whatever that those days were. But uske wajah se kafi team mein stability mil gayi thi, because the coach was there, the playing group was there together, and you could see the result of that, which was the medal at the Tokyo Olympics. That was one of the reasons, not surely the only reason for it. So the biggest thing that Reed has brought to Indian hockey is stability. And this is an important year because, well, January is almost over, and in September, you'll be playing the Asian Games. If it happens, it's scheduled to take place in Hangzhou, China, and COVID permitted, it will go ahead as scheduled. And Asian Games is a qualifying tournament for the Olympics. And if you don't win a gold medal there, it means you'll have to go through another tricky tournament to just qualify for the Paris Olympics. So it'll just काफी hurdles create कर देंगे unnecessarily. So it's important कि एक continuity जो एक बनी है Indian hockey में मुश्किल से वो एक चलती रहे. That's broadly the reason why there is an argument in favor of keeping Graham Reed as the coach.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tokyo Olympics. I think, you know, another thing that was highlighted in your interview with Rick Charlesworth, who was the former India technical director, former India hockey technical director, and was, of course, coach of the Australia men's national team. He spoke about, was there a factor of India not having any pressure on their shoulders when they played at Tokyo Olympics? Because the matches were behind closed doors, owing to COVID-19 protocols. And back here at home, of course, you had stadiums filled out, fans chanting, and there was a lot of build-up going into this competition, of course. So do you think that also played a part in India's early exit from the competition?
Oh, yeah, of course. And not just Rick Charlesworth or other pundits. I mean, we'll just listen to what Harmanpreet Singh, India's captain, also had to say about the crowd playing part in the kind of performances they put out at this World Cup.
I think thoda difficult hota hai kyunki without crowd and suddenly crowd mein khelna, I think thoda bahut hota hai kyunki jo kam experience wale player hain unke liye thoda tough rehta hai and kabhi kabhi experience walon ke sath bhi ho jata hai. So yeah, I think fark padta hai, but wahi hai, mentally aapko pata hai, but aap apne task pe focus karoge to I think ye pressure aap ek positive way mein bhi le sakte ho ki aapko ऊपर से कम दबाए पीछे से ज्यादा पुश करे तो एटलीस्ट आप फोकस रहे हैं और उसके साथ आप अच्छा रिजल्ट दें. आई थिंक गुड लेसन फॉर अस कि नेक्स्ट कभी भी अपॉर्चुनिटी ऐसी कभी मिलेगी यहाँ पे कहीं बाहर मेजर टूर्नामेंट में तो हमें पता है कि मेंटली कैसे रहना है एंड टिल द लास्ट कैसे फोकस रहना है अपनी गेम पे.
सो या लाइक हरमन सेड, crowd of course played a major role. I mean, to play in front of empty stands in Tokyo worked in India's favor because India is a team generally jo ek stand se aapko vibes milte hai, they react to that a lot of times. So for example, if you're playing in front of packed stands at home, the thrilling part of that is that every time the ball touches an Indian stick, the crowd goes mental. They want a goal straight away. And the players also then end up playing to the gallery. And kabhi kabhi unki strategy, unki game plan, they just kind of have a brain fade. And they just react to the emotions and end up messing up a move. It's not every time, but it happens a lot of times. And vice versa, like we saw against New Zealand. When the opposition is pressurizing India, when they control the position, there is a weird sort of a silence inside the stadium, and it almost borders on this negative vibe being produced from the stands, and wo bhi ek tarah se reflect hota in the way the team performs. So India reacts to whatever emotions are coming out from the stands, from the spectators, and it generally affects them in a negative way rather than pushing them as a motivating factor. I can't recall in the last 8 years, since 2013, 2014, India has been hosting a major tournament almost every year. And I can't recall a crunch match, be it against New Zealand at this World Cup, against Netherlands in the 2018 World Cup, in the Champions Trophy, I think back in 2014. Apart from the 2016 Junior World Cup, I can't remember a single match where India has benefited from the crowd presence in the stadium. They've always kind of succumbed to that pressure or whatever the emotions are.
That's food for thought for future hosting of major competitions. But yeah, I think we've got a segue there into the New Zealand match, which is pressure on the senior players because some of the pros during the shootout, Mandeep Singh, Manpreet Singh, Akashdeep Singh, Lalit Upadhyay, they didn't participate in the shootout. And that raised quite a few eyebrows. It kind of reminded me of, I don't know if it's, you know, sort of relevant, but England's 2021 Euro final shootout against Italy, in which a lot of the young players were sort of participating in the shootout rather than the old known faces. That's something to also look into, right? It's a big thing when it comes to these current situations. You would want the players who are used to taking those routines to take them in actual matches, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, to be honest, it's something that Graham Reed or Harmanpreet Singh, the captain, haven't really been asked about. It's something Joe ne puchna chahiye ki exactly kya thinking tha, because it could be working both ways. Like Rick Charlesworth pointed out, you know, in his interview, ki even when he was the coach of Australia, and Australia was an all-conquering team under Rick Charlesworth, wo sab kuch almost jeet ke they apart from an Olympic medal. And they had this real aura about them, incredible mental strength. But still, Rick Charlesworth said that he had a few senior players in his team who weren't really up for taking penalty shootouts. I mean, he didn't speculate as to why that was happening, but you could also see a trend over here where in the key moment, in the penalty shootout, India's key players did not take the shootout. And it didn't make sense because you have players like Lalit Upadhyay, like Manpreet Singh, Akashdeep Singh, who are very skillful. And unlike football, jahan par perhaps, you know, aapka mental strength plus physical strength combine karna padta hai to have a direct penalty shot at a goalkeeper. In hockey, you do need skills because you start from the 23-meter line. You have this one-on-one situation with the goalkeeper and you can score only after entering the circle. So you need to have real, real good skills to beat the goalkeeper there. And you had the best guys, the most skillful guys in the team sitting at the half line. It just beats logic. You don't know why that has happened. And there is no solid explanation coming forth from the team management. And to be fair, they haven't really been asked about it as well so far. But yeah, I mean, it just is a weird thing. Perhaps they wanted a novelty factor with the young penalty takers, but clearly it backfired.
Yeah. And well, speaking of Rick Charlesworth, you also tried to put him on the spot a little by, you know, asking what he would have done differently with this side. What was his response to that? Because he spoke of a couple of things, a couple of players missing in the team. Rupinder Pal Singh, who of course retired, and Hardik Singh, who wasn't participating in this competition. What was his stance on the things that kind of didn't go in the right direction for India even before they played their first match?
So it's not just Rick. It's a lot of people who have pointed out this bit, including former India captain M.M. Sovaya, who wrote a piece for our opinion pages. And he made this observation that we do lack a bench strength. And that's something that Rick alluded to as well. Agar jo Hardik Singh aapka injured ho jata hai mid-tournament, and in all respect to Hardik, he's had a great tournament, the two matches he played and stuff, but he's not a Dhanraj Pillai. Right, I mean, वो इतना भी irrepressible नहीं है अभी के situation में जहाँ पर वो अगर जो injure हो जाता है, then your entire left flank gets paralyzed. So the fact that you don't even have a replacement for someone like a Hardik Singh, who is still a very up and coming player, not an established name in the Indian team so far, speaks volumes about the lack of bench strength that you have, and that was a big issue. So you had these bunch of retirements after the Tokyo Olympics and you couldn't get replacements for them as well. India were living in an illusion that they have got super four penalty corner batteries. You had players like Harmanpreet Singh, Varun Kumar, Amit Roydas. Then there was this another young player called Jugrat Singh, who was a reserve and not in the team. But the penalty corner specialists flopped. And one of the reasons that experts point out is that India just had like one out and out direct flicking export. And that was Harman. And since Harmanpreet was out of form, it just that goal scoring option for India never clicked. Whereas at the Olympics, if Harmanpreet, for example, wasn't working out his drag flicks, he had someone like a Rupinder Pal partnering him. And here that wasn't the case. So you have lack of options in that department. Then aapka Hardik Singh injured ho gaya, so your entire left flank became inactive. Like New Zealand's only biggest strategy of that match was to keep the ball on India's right wing because they were important there. And on the left, you didn't have a Hardik. So, वहाँ से तो आपके वैसे भी कोई moves नहीं बन रहे थे. So, these are simple things that sound simple things. But yeah, you clearly don't have a bench strength. And in the long run, that is something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. And also on the bench strength, the absence of something like Hockey India League. You know, we can only draw parallels to the one domestic league that's been talked about with context of the sport and what it has done to the national team playing that sport, which is the IPL, and how it has sort of instilled this fearless factor in a lot of players when they play against these senior pros, not just from India, but around the world, and realize, you know, there's not much difference between the two. You know, the journey sort of starts somewhere and they have the advantage of knowing what it feels like to play alongside these pros early in their career. Do you think the absence of that league now plays a big role in creating this bench strength for Indian hockey?
Absolutely. If you look at Indian hockey in the last 10 years, there is clearly this bunch of players who benefited from the HIL. Then there are post-HIL guys who lack the same, I won't say skills, but ek jo fearlessness jo ek Hockey India League ne di thi, right? Players ko, it gave them this huge self-belief that they also can, more or less the same like the players from established hockey playing countries, that whole fear of a foreign player was gone. And just by interacting with these players, best players from around the world, best coaches from around the world, made Indians better as well. And in the post HIL generation, you see that has been missing. That is a big difference. So you need a strong domestic structure. Also, like MM Somaya pointed out, your current national championships, that isn't really helping either. So earlier you had a proper national championships where states and public units, they kind of competed against each other and the best team won, and you had the cream of Indian talent playing there. What Hockey India has done in the last few years is they've taken that one national championship and divided into four. So you have, say, for example, academies playing amongst themselves. You've got institutions like railways and services and banks and others playing amongst themselves. And then you have got states as well and juniors. So aapke char alag alag units ban gaye hain. And agar jo aap, as a player, if you play in one vertical of those national championships, you are then ineligible to compete in another. So aapke paas teams or players, player pool to vaise bhi kafi limited hai. And then you're dividing it to four, which means you're diluting the entire national championships, and you don't know if the players that are actually coming out of it are genuinely that good. So, वहाँ पर भी एक बड़ा dilution के वजह से you are losing out on perhaps quality players. You're not able to identify your best players in the country. So, that bit, the domestic structure actually needs to be properly overhauled. You need to go back to your old national championship system. Perhaps, and also, I mean, it's been said a lot, but yeah, you need the return of Hockey India League.
Yeah. Well, interesting few months ahead for Indian hockey, and it has to be seen what will happen in the management going ahead. Will there be a change of coach? But that is all for another day. Overall, Mihir, tournament ka jo experience raha hai, I mean, there's a lot spoken about India hosting this competition, the World Cup, that is out and out again. I remember a Belgian player, and I can't recall his name right now, who said that it's regrettable India still gets to host the competition out and out again. But it also makes sense, given the fact that there's no other country that will be consistently able to fill up the stadiums, as Odisha has done on this particular occasion as well. How's your experience of the competition been? And does it make sense that India gets to host the Hockey World Cup 3 out of the last 4 occasions?
I mean, ideal situation, you wouldn't want that to happen. But like, agar jo realistic perspective bhi le, to fir the fact is that koi aur country has not been willing to host this. In 2010, India hosted it. Then 2014, it went to Netherlands. 2018 and 2023, you have it, had it in Odisha. I mean, this edition of the World Cup, Belgium tried to get it, but their bid was almost, India's bid was twice more than them in terms of the financial prospects for the International Federation. So money-wise, it made sense for them to come to India. Now in 2026, they'll be going to the Netherlands and Belgium, who will be jointly hosting the tournament. So market reality is here, whether you like it or not. No other country is willing to host the Hockey World Cup for the simple reason that there is lack of public interest and it costs a lot as well. So, yeah, it comes back to India. And I mean, on field, yeah, this has been a great World Cup. Rourkela was a big question mark heading into this edition, but I seriously feel it's the best stadium you have in the world right now, and just for hockey. It is an outstanding stadium, incredibly designed, great atmosphere inside the stadium, amongst, I think, most stadiums across sports that you see in India. I think it's the most modern, most accessible, not just for, it's just an incredible facility. So they have full marks to them for that. The question is, how do you use that going forward? Apne almost 500 crore, 1000 crore ek stadium banane mein laga diye in a region which is not yet accessible by flight. The train journey is long and arduous. The bus connection isn't really that smooth. So how are you going to utilize that when you're going forward is something that's a big question. There will of course be one-off matches. For example, in March, I think Germany and Australia they return to India to play the Pro League. So those matches will be held in Rourkela. So, I mean, that's something for the future. But what Rourkela basically did was it made this World Cup interesting in the sense that two cities mein jab tournament divide ho gaya, to travel element increase ho gaya. It added to the logistical complications for the teams. And it worked out pretty well eventually. Kaafi sare question marks the usko lekar. And otherwise, this tournament has been great. Yeah. Superb quality matches. Slightly predictable as well, because in the semifinals, then you ended up having teams ranked 1, 2, 3 and 4 in the world. Although that ensures highest quality matches, but it also points at the lack of underdog element at this World Cup. And we've largely seen just 2 upsets, I think. New Zealand beating India in the playoff for quarterfinals, and then South Korea beating Argentina to reach the quarterfinals. So apart from those 2 results, this, of course, we're talking before the semifinals have begun. So if, say, for example, Germany beat Australia and Netherlands beat Belgium, those will be the 2 biggest upsets of the World Cup, or any of them. Other than that, I don't think this has been a World Cup of upsets. It's been a World Cup which has stuck to the script. And if the script follows, then we'll have a Belgium-Australia final.
Interesting few months lie ahead for Indian hockey. And it remains to be seen what sort of changes, if any, will be made, whether there'll be a change of coach, whether there'll be a few new players coming into the mix of things going into Paris 2024, and if they happen, Asian Games 2023. But thank you so much, Mihir, for joining us, and I'm sure our listeners will attest to this. It was a pleasure hearing your voice. I don't want to make this awkward, but it was a pleasure having you on the pod after what it was like 2 weeks. Yeah. And thanks to our producer Anviti Singh in the background, and thanks to you, all our listeners. We'll see you next week.
You are listening to Express Podcasts. Today's show was edited and mixed by Abhishek Kumar and produced by me, Anviti Singh. If you like the show, then do subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also recommend the show to someone who you think will like it, share it with a friend or someone in your family. It's the best way for people to get to know about us. You can also tweet us @ExpressPodcasts and write to us at podcasts@indianexpress.com.